Well, good day and welcome. It's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN Radio. Along with Debbie Giorgiani and the show team, I am Jerry Usher. Delighted that you're with us. And it is a taped show today, a pre-record. So we're going to ask you to, we're not going to be able to take your phone calls like we usually do, but it is still your show. And we want you to listen attentively because we know you're going to get a lot out of our conversation today. What do you think, Deb?
Oh, absolutely. Catching up with Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. He is a favorite of the Take Two family, Jerry. So I say we dive right in, let you properly introduce him, and let's get rolling.
Yeah, it's been a while since we had Deacon on and since we chatted, so a lot to catch up on. Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, known around the world as the Dynamic Deacon, one of the most sought-after speakers in the church today. He is a powerful and passionate evangelist and preacher whose no-nonsense approach to living and proclaiming the Catholic faith will challenge and inspire those who hear him. He travels across the United States and around the world speaking at conferences, workshops, retreats, parish missions, high schools, young adult events. In short, to everyone who desires to know Jesus intimately and enjoy a deeper personal relationship with him. He is the co-host of several popular series on EWTN television and is featured on the renowned Chosen Faith Formation Program by Ascension Press. Deacon Harold, also an award-winning author, has written 5 books, including his latest, which we'll hear a little bit about. It's called Our Life of Service, the Handbook for Catholic Deacons. So, Deacon Harold, welcome to Take Two.
Jerry and Debbie, it is great to be back with you again. It's been way too long, and it's always great to be with two of my favorite people in the entire world. So thank you so much for having me back.
Oh, and we didn't even pay you to say that, Deacon. Thank you.
That's because it's from the heart.
and right back at you, we feel the exact same way. So, Deacon, first give us an update on, you know, as Jerry was introducing you, and I get so exhausted even looking at your bio of traveling all around and all of the, you know, TV and radio appearances and the books, and you know, you're an international speaker, and everybody wants to have Deacon Harold Burke Sivers at their parish mission or something like a big event. Tell us what's going on in the world, because you're a world traveler, and just kind of give us a from your perspective, what's really happening out there, because we are watching the news and it's getting a little bit crazier by the minute, Deacon.
Yes, it is. You know, and I have to tell you, it's been good to be back traveling again. You know, during the pandemic, so many of us were unable to travel, to really do the work that God has called us to do. And so it's good to be back out again. And I'm noticing a couple of things. People coming back to the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, I mean, I know there are parishes that are struggling, and I find that definitely to be true in many places, not just the United States, in other countries that I've been to recently, probably with the exception of Australia. Because I had the great honor and privilege of traveling there with Tim Staples, and we did a speaking tour, and the events were packed, standing room only, putting out extra chairs, that kind of thing. And I think that's because of the draconian measures that were taken, lockdown measures that were taken there, that people were hungry and they wanted to come back together, and they were, you know, longing to be out again, right, and be part of that body of Christ. But I find in other places they're struggling because, well, a couple of things. First of all, even before the pandemic, 69% of Catholics did not believe that Jesus Christ was present, body, blood, soul, divinity, in the Eucharist. And so my question is, why were you coming then? You know, is it just out of rote, just out of habit? You know, I'm not judging people. I'm just saying, you know, if you don't believe that Jesus is truly there, he's giving himself to us in word and in sacrament, that he's preparing our hearts, our minds, and our souls to receive him, and then go forward to be Eucharist to the world, to witness to the power of our faith in Jesus Christ, especially in our culture, which is so dark right now. Then why were you going? You know, and so we've seen people not coming back in the numbers that they were before, and you know, which I wanted to say it this way, I'm not saying that it's good, but it's not necessarily a bad thing, because now we have to really start going back to the basics of our faith, getting people refamiliarized with Jesus Christ, especially him present in the sacraments, and most especially in the Eucharist. That's why I'm thrilled that the U.S. bishops are emphasizing for the next 3 years this initiative of reinitiating people back into the life of the Eucharist again, having us to fall in love with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and Him present in the Eucharist. So that's what I've been noticing.
Deacon Harold Birksiver is our guest here on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. This is a taped program, but we know you're going to get a lot out of it. So thanks for tuning in to the program today. We appreciate it. Ace McKay is our producer and really did a great job of putting this interview together with Deacon Harold. And Deacon, you alluded to this. I was going to ask you basically what you already sort of answered, and that is, are things back to normal for you following, you know, the post-COVID? Because I know you said it had to put a real, you know, burden on you and so many speakers because, you know, you couldn't travel, you couldn't, this is your bread and butter. So are you pretty much back to where you were before post, you know, pre-COVID?
That's a great question, Jerry. Yes. So the thing about this year that has been a little bit odd is that I would say 90% of my speaking engagements were rescheduled from 2020 and 2021. So there were hardly any new events, which I knew was going to happen because 2 years ago when things started shutting down, nobody was booking any new engagement. So I was thinking to myself, as week after week after week events were being canceled, I'm thinking not only am I not speaking now, I'm not going to be speaking 2 years from now, because no one's thinking that far ahead. And so I was a little bit concerned, but again, what happened was a lot of people rescheduled. So even the international trips to the Holy Land and to Abu Ramagal because of, you know, the reschedule of the Passion Play. So all of those overseas trips and many of my trips throughout the United States have been rescheduled events, which has been great. But again, the numbers have been a lot lower than normally they are. But as far as back on a regular schedule, I'm definitely back again. Again, glad to back out.
He's back, folks, and hopefully you can consider bringing Deacon Harold out to your parish, your area, your event, whatever you have going on. We'll certainly give you details about how you can do that during this conversation we're having with him on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. No phone calls today. It is a taped program, but we have a lot that we're going to get into with Deacon Harold Birksiver, so stay with us. Well, thank you very much for tuning in to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN Radio, visiting with Deacon Harold Birksivers in the Archdiocese of Portland, world traveling speaker and award-winning author. We're going to get into some of that here in our conversation with him. Before we go back to Deacon, I want to tell you about the Our Lady Refuge of Sinners framed. It's a beautiful print of the original painting titled Our Lady of Refuge by Mexican artist Jose de Paez. It depicts Our Lady in regal garments embracing the child Jesus, both wearing large ornate crowns. A picture is enclosed by an oval border surrounded by flowers with the title at the bottom that reads in Latin, Refuge of Sinners. It's framed in an antique gold wood frame with a sawtooth hook for hanging, and the overall measurements are approximately 7 by 9 inches. Our Lady of Refuge Sinners framed, available at EWTNRC.com, where you get free standard shipping for online orders $75 or more in the continental United States. Just use the code FREE at checkout. Mm-hmm.
So back to catching up with Deacon Harold Birksivers. So Deacon Harold, you were sharing about the Eucharistic revival that our shepherds, our bishops are, you know, unveiling for all of us and bringing out and having people get involved in the parish, on the parish level. I just wanted to circle back to that for a moment because you may or may not know this because you're so busy traveling and speaking. But for last year, for 2022, and it's now continuing into this year for 2023, Jerry and I, for the first Friday of every month on Take Two, we dedicate it to the Real Presence. So the show is all about the Eucharist. And Deacon, I have to tell you, it has just blown us away at the amount of participation we have every month, especially from our non-Catholic listeners that are really interested in what our on-fire Catholics have to say. And we love, Jerry and I look forward to the show every month because it just gives us a chance to just completely surround ourselves with what we believe and the source and summit of our faith, and to see everybody, light up the phone lines and just go to social media and try to reach us by comments and share their personal devotion to the Most Holy Holy Eucharist. It really is inspiring. It's encouraging. It keeps us going. It's amazing. But I just want to go back to what you were saying. You know, the numbers may be smaller, and I think I heard this in what you were sharing with us. But the people that are coming are really fully invested in their faith. Are you seeing that at your speaking engagements?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And to drive the point home, the beautiful point you just made, Debbie, I spoke at an event near Houston, Texas, and it was a Eucharistic event. Now, they had done this event. It was based on basically the Steubenville model, you know, where they have Eucharistic adoration and you process around and people worship, you know. So this parish wanted to take that experience and bring it to their own parish community. Well, they hadn't done it in several years because the priest was ill, so they skipped that 1 year. And then the pandemic, they skipped for 2 years. And so I came to do a mission there, again, a makeup event for something that was canceled. And I talked about the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Well, the pastor and the staff were so inspired. They say, you know, we need to revive this Eucharistic day of Eucharistic adoration. We'd love you to come back. And so I came back during 2022, and 1,200 people showed up.
Wow.
It was awesome. And they were in love, and they were on fire. And, you know, we spoke about Jesus' presence in the Eucharist. There was such a longing and a yearning, you know, for our Lord, you know, after being away from him, in some cases, for over a year because of the pandemic. And just to see the people coming together as the body of Christ around the body of Christ and worshiping and adoring and crying and just their hearts completely open to everything God wanted to give them in the Blessed Sacrament was just beautiful and inspiring. And I think this Eucharistic revival is exactly what we need in the church right now.
Yeah, we talk about it often, and a great gift it is, absolutely. And Deacon, as you're sharing this, you know, the 1,200 people at that one event, and wherever you go, one of your books was Behold the Man, about male spirituality, and I'd love to know. You know, often, you know, it's said sometimes, you know, oh, the church is for the women, you know, religion is for the women and all that. But, you know, there's nothing more beautiful, I think, than to see, you know, a man who prays and you know, what the saying goes, you know, get on your knees and fight like a man. Are you seeing, you know, we're seeing, you know, men's groups start up, men's conferences all over the country. You've spoken at a lot of them. What's your take on, you know, the fervent, you know, devotion and faith of men out there today?
Well, we definitely see ministry to men growing. You know, I'm honored and privileged to be part of the Heroic Men Initiative, along with some just wonderful men of God. And these are men that have started some of the largest men's conferences and men's gatherings in the country. And we've come together and we say, hey, look, why don't we put our heads together and figure out how we can do what we're doing in my area and expand it throughout North America. So we have Canadian men, including priests and deacons, also involved in this effort. It's just been tremendous to see men responding to the Lord calling them. Because I think the key to taking back this culture, Jerry and Debbie, is to really strengthen the men. Because you're right, the women be carrying the torch for a long time, and too often by themselves. They're the ones bringing their kids to church, and they're the ones doing catechesis, they're the ones that are sacrificing. And we need the men to step it up, because the original mission in the garden was to serve, protect, and defend. That was the mission. That was the calling, the vocation that the man was given in the garden by God. And so we need men to pick up that mantle and to carry it forward. We saw this even with St. Joseph. Right? I mean, St. Joseph literally served, protected, and defended the Holy Family. And so we need men in the same spirit of St. Joseph to go out there and to be the men who God created and calls them to be. Because when we do that, strong men, strong families. Strong families, strong church. Strong church, we take back this culture. And it is not impossible. It is not a pipe dream. It is not being overly optimistic. It's when we really begin to live our faith with passion and conviction, then we will be witnesses of God's power and love to this world. And the world will have no choice but to pay attention and to step up and say, oh, wait a minute, there's a deeper truth here, there's a deeper beauty here. The world is not just the trinity of me, myself, and I. It's about making a gift of ourselves, because when you give yourself away in love, is when you truly find yourself in God. And I think the more men understand that mission and that calling, the stronger families, church, and society we will have.
Well, Deacon Harold, we have a lot of men that listen to Take Two, as you may know, but I got to tell you, they're probably sitting there right now, you know, hearing you and saying, yeah, that sounds fantastic, what Deacon Harold says, and the passion behind his words. But there's a lot of fear, let's face it, a lot of fear out there. You know, people are afraid to get canceled. People are afraid to speak up. People are afraid to really be a strong Catholic Christian. What would you say to those men that are listening right now that the fear is just, you know, it's even from their own families? We have a wonderful listener to Take Two. He's very strong. And his own family, his wife and kids are a bit turning against him because he's too strong in the faith. He's wonderful, but they're like, no, tone it down a bit. We want to fly under the radar in this world. What do you say to those men?
Oh boy, Debbie, you hit the nail right on the head. Here's my take. I think some of the greatest ideas in human history are in cemeteries. Why do I say that? I think that the fear, which you articulated so well, Debbie, there's so much fear that people are afraid to allow their ideas to show forth, to allow their faith to show forth, to witness the power of God's love, to allow that idea to see the light of day. They're afraid of failure. They're afraid of ridicule. They're afraid of embarrassment. They're just afraid. And we have to go back to the Word of God. 1 John chapter 4, I think right around verse 19, says that perfect love cast out all fear. So we have to love more than be afraid, right? And so we have to recapture that sense of awe, of wonder, of love. And I think the way we do that, personally, is Eucharistic adoration, immersing ourselves in a life of prayer, conversing with God, opening our hearts to Him, you know, which is why, hearts have to be like rubber bands, right? Rubber bands are only useful when they're stretched, right? And so what we have to do is have to just to start living our faith. And what did Jesus say about the family, right? The truth, you think I came to bring peace? I came to bring the sword. Mother against daughter, father against son, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, right? I mean, Jesus even says the truth is going to divide even in families. And as painful as picking up that cross and following Christ may be, we have to choose Christ over anything that separates us from God's love, right? And so people don't want us to be out there about our faith. They don't, they just want to keep our faith to ourselves, and that's been the problem for too long. We keep the faith to ourselves, and then we wonder why things are the way they are in our culture. We have to share the good news of Jesus Christ, and that's why Take Two with Jerry and Debbie is so powerful. I cannot tell you, how many people have come up to me in the past year and said how much the show has meant to them? Why? Because you're allowing people to share their experience of Jesus Christ. It's not going out there and trying to proselytize people or hit them over the head with apologetics and all the and argumentation back and forth. No, it's about, here is what God means to me in my life. I am now witnessing to you by my own story the power of how God worked in my life. And guess what? He can do the same thing for you. You're helping give courage to those people out there who are afraid to live their faith with passion and conviction. And I have to say, it's happened to me even last, in the past year, where I was at I'm not going to say exactly where this was, but it was in a state where I thought that this may not be an issue. And I got some of the most hateful, spiteful emails I have ever received in 20 years. Of being ordained as a deacon. It was hurtful. And I stood up for that. I mean, I said, marriage is actually one man and one woman. That boys are actually males and girls are actually females. That a child in the womb is a person, not a blob of tissue. That old people are not worthless. That we have to respect the dignity of every human being. Just basic stuff like that. And I mean, it was painful. Now, I had to reach out to my spiritual director and a couple other good priest friends of mine, you know, after that experience. I said, wait, am I crazy here? Like, did I say something that was off? Why am I getting attacked for preaching the beauty and truth of the faith? But guess what? Jesus says, you know, pick up your cross and follow me. So the same thing that happened to him is going to happen to us. People are going to ridicule us and mock us because we're standing up for truth, and which is not an idea or philosophy. Truth ultimately is a person, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Take two with Jerry and Debbie, a pre-record program today with Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. We're not taking your live calls today, but we are having quite an engaging and, I think, impactful conversation, so we hope that you're enjoying it. And if you know somebody who would benefit from this or any of our broadcasts, please point them to take2show.com, where all of the shows are archived there. And Deacon, you just touched upon, I mean, we could take any one of those things that you just mentioned and run with them for hours, because it's so important today. But especially our young people today. I mean, you know, Mary said at Fatima, if I'm correct, you know, the final battle would be between Satan and the family. Well, we've seen the family basically ripped apart for a long time, and now so many of the forces in the world, quite frankly, very evil forces, are going after our children. Say a word of encouragement to parents, because a lot of them are probably just maybe close to despair.
Oh, there's no question or doubt about that. In fact, you know, there may be young married couples out there that are, you know, even, should we, how many kids should we have? I don't know if we want to bring kids into an environment like this. So there is a lot of fear out there, but here's the thing. Don't outsource your responsibility of teaching your children the faith. So in other words, the pattern has always been in the past, oh, we want to teach our kids our faith. Okay, we'll send them to Catholic school, right? We'll send them to confirmation class. We'll send them to a youth group. And all those things are wonderful if they're teaching the Catholic faith. So two things I want to say here. First of all, schools, youth group, confirmation class are wonderful, but they exist to supplement what's supposed to be going on at home, not taking the place of it. Because the home, which St. John Paul II calls the domestic church, is the place where young people learn to fall in love with Jesus, to know him deeply, intimately, and personally, is in relationship with the parents. That's why, for example, the Ten Commandments, Jesus breaks them up into love God and love your neighbor as yourself, right? And we think, okay, 1 through 3, and then 4 through 10. But hold on. Commandment number 4 is what's called a hinge commandment, because it's the only commandment that comes with a promise. So it's both love God and love your neighbor as yourself. What's commandment number 4? Honor your father and your mother. So right there, God is showing us that the family is at the center, the bridge between God and our neighbors, ourselves. I'll continue the thought after the break.
Yeah, absolutely. Very, very good stuff. We're hearing from Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers here on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN Radio. Pre-recorded broadcast, but we're going deep on a lot of important subjects. So stay with us. After the break, we'll have more with Deacon Harold.
We're catching up with our dear friend, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. And Deacon, you heard that music there, so we had to hit the pause button. If you can rewind a little bit, because I'm trying to take notes as you're speaking. I'm thinking, wow, this is fantastic stuff. Because, you know, Jerry and I do the Catholic Christian life coaching at Stand Tall. And so many of our clients that we work with, they come to us with, you know, family dynamics that we're trying to navigate and trying to figure out, you know, and trying to keep the family together. And you're saying some very powerful things. So if you can rewind a little bit and pick up where you left off.
So I was saying that we as parents should not outsource our responsibility of teaching the children the faith. You know, the past has always been sending to Catholic school, youth group, confirmation. But those things exist as we support what's going on at home. Now, one of the issues is that parents often can't pass on the faith to their children because they don't know the faith themselves. So you can't give what you don't have yourself. Right? So they say, okay, because we don't know, we're going to allow the Catholic schools to do it and youth group to do it. But the problem with that is this. When we talk about the domestic church, the church of the home, it's teaching the children the faith by our lived example and witness. It's not just teaching them, you know, facts and head knowledge about our Catholic faith. The kids need to see that the faith that they're learning, that they're exposed to at Mass or Catholic schools, or if they're not going to Catholic school, their youth group, whatever, that it's actually real. That when they come to Mass, it's not just, you know, a bunch of stuff going on up there at the altar while I'm sitting out here in the pew. No, what is God saying to me? How is God speaking to my life, my situation, to my heart? How is God changing my life? How is God working with me to help me to fully become the person he created me to be? And that starts in the home, where the kids have to fall in love with Jesus. That's my first point. And the second point is this. Don't send them to Catholic institutions if they're not teaching the Catholic faith. Period. Now, I say that as someone who has benefited my entire life from Catholic education. Grade school, high school, college, graduate school, all at Catholic institutions. And so it's with a heavy heart that I say, if they're not teaching the Catholic faith, don't send them there. Because all you're paying for is a very expensive public school. I mean, think about it like this. If there was a Muslim school, and you decided to send your Catholic child to a Muslim school, do you think, you know, if a number of Catholic kids started going to that school, that our Muslim brothers and sisters would say, well, you know what, let's stop teaching Quran. Let's stop praying five times a day, because now all the Catholics are here, and we're going to have to just, you know, peel back our faith to accommodate them. They won't do that. Why? Because you made a decision to send your child to a school like that. So why is it always us, as Catholics, in our institutions, say, well, let's just back down. Let's just peel back our Catholic faith. Let's just dumb it down. Let's stop going to Mass. Let's stop putting the kids in uniforms. But because most of the kids that go to school here are non-Catholic. They made a decision to send their kid to a Catholic school. They should be learning the Catholic faith, period. And if that's not happening, don't send them there. You know, so that's what I say. And the last thing is this. Please don't be afraid to talk to your children about difficult issues. What I'm noticing is that many schools are bringing me in to talk about issues that they don't want to talk about. So same-sex attraction, transgender, things that kids are questioning, that they're dealing with. We don't want to talk about those things because they're hard. And they are hard things to talk about. But we have to talk about them in the context of God's love and God's mercy. The basic principle is this. We love everyone. So all of our transgender brothers and sisters, all of our same-sex attracted brothers and sisters, whatever is going on, we love them with the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if you don't love our brothers and sisters that way, you can't call yourself a Catholic. Let's put it straight out there. But here's the thing. We love them, but we don't always love the decisions and the lifestyle choices that they make. You see? So we have to distinguish the person from their action. Because we live in a culture that says that my actions, the way I act, define who I am. That's a lie. A deep, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ defines who you are, not your behaviors or your lifestyle choice decisions. That's the culture's narrative, right? And we don't live. Jesus didn't come to this earth and live and die and sacrifice his life so his teachings could be changed by the culture. Jesus came to transform the culture with his truth. And just like the martyrs in the early church, martyrs, right? So the Greek word means witness. We have to be witnesses today of the power of God's love to stand up to this culture that's trying to dictate subjective truth to us that's not based in anything except the latest cultural ideas or milieu. That's not our faith in Jesus Christ.
Deacon Harold Birksiver is with us on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie here on EWTN Radio. And, you know, Deacon, you pointed out several of the evils that are in the world today, especially, you know, as they are being presented to and really encouraged in our young people, gender fluidity and all of this. And sometimes I just take a step back, and I wonder if you do the same thing. And, you know, I just go, my goodness. We've come so far so fast in a negative way is what I'm saying. I can hardly believe the things that we're seeing and hearing and experiencing in our culture today. Do you feel that same way? I mean, it just seems like it's just this steamroller that's going 100 miles an hour.
Jerry, you nailed it. It's a juggernaut. It's a juggernaut. Think about it. It's kind of like David and Goliath. You know, the Israelites were going to fight the Philistines, and they were opposing each other, and all of a sudden, Goliath comes out. Goliath, it says his height is 6 cubits and a span. So a cubit is 18 inches, a span is half a cubit, which is 9 inches. So if you do the math, he's about 9 feet, 9 inches tall. It said he had a helmet of bronze on his head, he was clothed with mail, and the weight of the coat was 3,000 shekels. Well, a shekel is 0.4 ounces in today's measurement. So if you do the math, it's 125 pounds. So a 9 feet, 9-inch giant walks up to you with 125 pounds of armor, plus with his stick and all the other weapons he had. You're going to be scared. And it says Saul and all the armies of Israel were afraid. They were afraid to face him. But who was not afraid? David, the teenager, the kid, who Saul said, you have no chance against him. He's been a warrior since he was a kid. He's going to kill you. And David said, look, I don't know about that. All I know is this. I cannot stand here and allow this guy to mock and ridicule the armies of God. Someone has to stand up to him. If you guys don't want to do it, I'm going to do it. Why did David do that, Jerry and Debbie? Because he understood that God fights with and for him, that he is not alone in this struggle, that God is on his side, right? And he would write about this later in the Psalm. If the Lord had not been on our side, this is Israel's song. If the Lord had not been on our side when men rose against us, then would they have swallowed us alive when their anger was kindled. But because David understood that the Lord is with him, in fact, what does he say? He says, you come to me with sword and with javelin and with spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord, the God of the army of Israel. Yahweh Sabaoth in Hebrew. He says, bless. He goes, I come to you in the name of the Lord. What do we say at every holy sacrifice of the Mass? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So we say the same thing at every Mass that David says to Goliath. Why? Because God has given us the strength that we need in that blessed sacrament to stand up to what's going on in our culture today. And when we do that, we can defeat what's going on in the culture, just like David defeated Goliath. In fact, David cut off Goliath's head with his own sword, with Goliath's own sword. Why? Because moral relativism ends up cutting off its own head in the end when it's confronted with objective beauty, truth, and goodness that the church brings.
So, Deacon, what I hear you saying, because I'm trying to take it, as I said earlier, take notes, but then I realized I could go back and listen to the show several times. So I put away the notes and I'm just soaking this all in. And Deacon, what I hear you saying is that, you know, we really need to remove the fear. We need to not get distracted, obviously, by the demons that are running rampant all over this world and trying to you know, get us off the mark. We need to have more courage and more confidence. We need to get a better understanding of what we believe in, and we march forward. We keep going, and if we do that, you know, we know what the promises are for us. We know the end of the story. I just think sometimes it's this unbelievable fear that people have that they just don't want to die. They don't want to be killed. And you know, you even shared earlier of the hateful, you know, responses you got from just speaking the truth, from spreading the gospel message of what we know, and you do it so well, and you do it with clarity and charity. So I don't know what people are complaining about, but yet that was coming at you. So really, that's what we think. Jerry and I feel like that could be our small part to help people, you know, feel that confidence and courage, because that's needed now more than ever. And our kids, our little kids and grandkids now are watching us. And they're you know, getting cues from us and understanding how they are to behave. And I just think if we don't go out there strong, the next generation and the generation following, they're going to have a tough time. What do you say to all that?
No, you are absolutely correct. And I think what's so beautiful about what EWTN is doing and what Take-Two with Jerry and Debbie and Stand Tall, their beautiful initiative there where you're doing life coaching, is you're helping people to share their stories. Because it's one thing, because the question comes then, Debbie, how do you overcome the fear? We all have fear. Some people, as you articulated, more so than others. When fear begins to handicap you, right, when you don't have the confidence to put into place what God has ordained for your life, we are not able to even carry forward what God has in store for you because you're afraid. That's when the fear really becomes debilitating, because now God's work can't be done. Remember, God's not going to force you to do anything that you're not freely open and willing to do, which is in fulfillment of his will, but he's not going to force you. You know, look, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was so scared he sweated blood. He knew what was going to happen to him, but he gave himself completely over to the Father, even though he was afraid, because he had a human nature, but he did experience the fear, but his love for fulfilling God's will overcame the fear. And so for us, how can we do that today? One of the ways is by listening to people share their experience of how they overcome faith and fear in their own life. Because when I hear somebody, oh my goodness, if that person could do it, I could do it. You know, it gives you courage. It gives you courage to step forward in faith. It gives you a hope that I know God is going to be with me in all of this. That's why stories like David and Goliath or the three young men. I have a new talk that I wrote during the pandemic called Staying Awake in the Woke Culture, where I go through the first three chapters of the book of Daniel and show how when those three young men stood up to King Nebuchadnezzar, he stood them in the furnace. He tried to cancel them. He tried to deplatform them. He tried to take their voice away. What did he do first? He tried to change their names. Remember, they were Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, which were all very godly names, and he changed them to Belteshazzar, and Shadrach, Abednego, and Meshach, which were the names of Chaldean pagan gods. So because in order to change your identity, you have to change your name. So what are we doing in our culture today? We're trying to so-called redefine marriage, redefine gender, right? When those things happen, it seems like a juggernaut. It seems overwhelming. How can we even get past this? It's like it seems impossible. But what does our Lord say? Nothing is impossible with God. The more we stand with God, the more this culture will have to take notice and begin to really, meaning for the first time, look deeply within. Not just look on the surface, but look deeply within ourselves. And not just say what is truth, but who is truth. You know, which I said before is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I think that's by sharing our faith, by encouraging people to stand strong in the Lord, that will give the courage for people to overcome their faith. I mean, sorry, to overcome their fear so they can begin to live their faith with passion and conviction.
Deacon Harold Birxiver is with us today, a pre-recorded broadcast on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Back to Deacon in just a moment. I want to remind you, though, that EWTN News Nightly airs at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday, on EWTN Radio and Television. You can join Tracy Sable for the Catholic News Perspective on top stories and reports from around the world. EWTN News Nightly with Tracy Sable, weeknights, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, both on EWTN Radio and Television. And Deacon, thank you for the kind words you've shared during this broadcast. I just want to remind people that at standtalltoday.com they can get a absolutely free consultation. It's life coaching. It's not counseling. It's not therapy. You can find out what it is, what it's about, and you have nothing to lose with one of our trained life coaches at standtalltoday.com, and you can get a free consultation with any of the coaches. So please check that out again, standtalltoday.com. And I think, Deacon Harold, our conversation would not be complete if we didn't kind of flip the coin over and take a look at, you know, some of the hopeful signs. You know, I love Jeremiah 29:11, you know, where it's just my favorite verse, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for not to prosper you and not to harm you, plans for hope and a future." And popes have talked about a new springtime. So I think in spite of everything that's going on, you know, how can we still remain not only positive, but truly hopeful and joyful as we move forward in the church?
Remember, again, following our Lord. Lord, just pick up your cross and follow me. So the crucifixion is not the end. It's not the end. And so we're experiencing the crucifixion in our culture right now, but that is not the end. Remember, we're on pilgrimage. in this life. We're heading toward our true home, which is heaven, the beatific vision, living this face-to-face with God forever. And everything that happens to us in life is a journey to get to our real home. And so, like any journey, there's going to be times of hardship and struggle. And we're definitely in that phase right now. So one of the things we have to do is live joyfully. You know, so I mean, not like SpongeBob SquarePants, like happy, happy joy. No, but the interior joy of knowing that God is in charge of everything. You know, that's why I don't even like talk about the emails I received before and some of the negativity. You know, I don't let that worry me. You know, because I see those as opportunities. That first of all, I am on the right track. when I'm preaching the beauty of the Catholic faith, I'm a loyal son of the Church. I will never speak anything against the authentic magisterial teachings of the Church in faith and morals. That's not me. But so when I speak the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15, always in love, you're going to get some backlash. And so I don't take it personally. You know, what I hear is, I'm lost, please help me. I'm searching, you know, please shed the light and beauty of your truth on me. Because what happens is people take it personally. They hear it, and their hearts are saying, oh, come on, you know that's beauty. You know that's truth. But their consciences are fighting against it because they're so comfortable in their sin. So we just have to continue to be living witnesses of God's joy to the world. And that's what I do. You know, I go out there and I try to be as joyful a witness to God's love as possible. How could you be happy with all this stuff going on in the pandemic? You people say to me, you're home. You're not out there speaking. Financially, you're struggling. How are you? You know what? God's got this. because I know that no matter what is going on around me, God is in control. And that's that right. God has the plan. And that we have sometimes to work through hardships to get to the other side, to get to what God's plan is for us. And in fact, what the pandemic did for me, my marriage was strengthened during the pandemic. Because we went through, without getting into detail, we went through a little bit of a valley, quite frankly. You know, some just very honest conversations and things that we should have been talking about that were put off. We had no choice but to face those things during the pandemic. And so God used that time of me being here to really fix some things that needed to be addressed in my own marriage and in my own family life. And so my being home, along with all the kids, because their colleges shut down, so everybody was home, we got a chance, really for one of the first times since our kids have been adults, to really sit down and have some serious conversation about faith and about life and about marriage and about family and about, you know, so it was really powerful in a lot of ways. But see, that opportunity presented itself during a time of hardship and struggle. But out of that comes growth. Out of that comes growth. So Jesus says, remember, unless the seed falls to the ground and dies, it cannot bear good fruit. Right? So we're in the season right now of death in our culture today. Right? But out of that death, new life is going to come forth. And so Amen. We can be joyful and hopeful in that promise.
Amen. Amen. And praise God to that, Deacon. As so many, we've heard that as well. So many couples, I mean, Marty and I got super tight during the pandemic. It's amazing. I mean, we had the best conversations and it was incredible. And so I can share that, you know, praising God for that special time with family. You're absolutely spot on. But I need to address our listeners that are probably listening intently to this fantastic conversation and they love you so very much, Deacon Harold. We hear it all the time on Take Two. Folks, please send this broadcast to your pastor. So many of you who listen to Take Two, you're in ministry at the parish level. Bring Deacon Harold out to your parish, please. And you can find him so easily. He's so good about getting back to everyone and with bookings and coming out to your parish and making it just an incredible event. I know because Phoenix has him back many, many times. They keep having him back. I keep thinking in the Diocese of Phoenix, do you want Deacon Harold to move here? Is that what you're trying to tell us? Because he's always coming to Phoenix, which is great, which I love, but that's how much we love him. And I'm sure all around the country, you love him as well. But bring him to your parish and you find him at deaconharold.com, deaconharold.com. Deacon Harold, we only have about 4 minutes left, but we wanted to ask you, you wrote a book for deacons. Tell us about it. Very important because you always make sure, even though you're a world-renowned speaker, you always bring your vocation as being a permanent deacon into that. And I love that about you, that you never separate that. And I think that is wonderful. So you wrote a book. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so during the pandemic, I actually wrote two books, a book that's coming out next year for Ignatius Press called Building a Civilization of Love, A Catholic Response to Racism. And 2022 was also the 20th anniversary of my ordination to the diaconate. So I've always wanted to write something about diaconal ministry. And so I wrote the book focusing on the service ministry of the deacon, because when you're ordained, there's three what they call munus, in Latin, which means functions, tasks, or duties of ordained ministry, and one of them is service. So I wanted to focus on the service ministry, how deacons, what is the diaconal ministry of service look like? How is that different from lay ministry? You know, how is diaconal service ministry different? What does it mean to be ordained and to serve in that way? And then how deacons serve in their families, right? Serving children and young people, young adults. And then what does that look like in the parish? And what does that look like outside of the parish? And, you know, and I was really pleased with the way the book came out. It was through Ave Maria Press. And to my surprise, the book ended up winning a national book award, which I was really surprised. Like, what? I even don't even, my book was even considered for anything like that. But again, a lot of people have seen to find the book very, very helpful. And I hope that a lot of people, even if they're discerning, this was God's calling me to do, I think the book will help you tremendously.
Well, it would make a great gift for people who have deacons in their parish to buy them a copy of that book. I'm sure it'll be excellent and very helpful. We're down to our last, I think, 2 minutes, Deacon Harold. So we want to definitely get your blessing for us and our listeners before we close the broadcast. But it's just been fantastic getting caught up with you again, as we said at the early in the program, and just praying for your ministry all the time. And you know, you're doing great work, Deacon. So we're so grateful that you joined us on the show.
And we love you very much.
Yeah, thank you. I love you guys too. And it's been too long. You know, we've all been busy doing the things the Lord has called us to do, but it's always good to get together and connect and to remember that we're all in this together. We're all a family. Mm-hmm.
Amen. You can always retire here in Phoenix, just so you know.
Yeah, try to convince my wife. That's good.
There are worse places you could retire.
Yeah.
Yes, true. That's true.
I love it.
Awesome.
So we would love that blessing for all of us at Take Two.
Sure. May Almighty God bless you and keep you and protect you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Well, a quick hour, Deacon Harold. Thank you so much for all that you shared with us. And again, many, many prayers and blessings upon you, your beautiful family, and your ministry. And we hope to get to be with you in person sometime before too long. So, Debbie, great broadcast today, and we are so grateful for Deacon's participation.
Absolutely. I just want to remind our listeners, go to deaconharold.com and make sure you see what he's up to, what he's doing in ministry, and book him for your parish, please. This is the time to get Deacon Harold to speak at your parish. You can hear the passion in his voice. It just gets us all on fire, folks. We love you guys so very much. That's why we do these pre-recorded broadcasts just for you. We absolutely ask St. Joseph to please pray for all of us. And until we meet again, have a beautiful and blessed day. See you real soon.